You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
I really wanted this to feel and be just like a family time around the cross. From what we've heard this morning, from the way we've made our way through this year, and you know, what are we in right now? We're in near the end of August, or well, middle of August, right? All through this year, making our way through the Gospel of John, we've come to this point. We've had this, you know, over the space of a couple of months here in church, this 1 week period of time in the lead up to what Jesus did on the cross and where we got to the point of his death this morning. And in 2 weeks' time, Matt will be sharing about the resurrection. And what a joyous service I'm sure that is going to be as we celebrate that, like that sealing of the victory. But there was a significant thing that happened when Jesus died as well. You know, ask the question of all of us this morning, how does the cross affect you? When you see the cross, what does it do? What is this moment here where we sit and we look at the cross, and as we consider what Jesus has done for us, the great love that he has for us, what does it do to us? I think that is one of the most critical answers that we can have, critical questions for us to answer, because it determines the way that we respond with our whole lives. It goes down into every other aspect and area of our lives. When we consider the cross and when we take the time to linger, what does it do in us? Jesus, we are so thankful. We are filled with gratitude as we have the opportunity tonight to worship you around the cross. We thank you that, as we talked about this morning, get to the point where you gave up your spirit after saying, "It is finished." That was such a triumphant cry, that it is finished. And that as we sit here today, we understand and we know that sin and death have no power over us as we are a child of yours because of Jesus, what you have done. And so, Lord, we pray that as we open your word today, this evening, and just dive a little bit deeper again, remind ourselves of what you have done. Father, you would continue that sanctifying work in us. You would help us to see the truth again. Maybe for some of us, it's fresh revelation tonight. That ultimately, Jesus, you would be exalted in every aspect of our lives. It is a joy to give you this time tonight. We are honored by your presence here with us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this evening. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our Bibles out. If you've got yours there, please grab it. If you don't, grab your phone out. And we are going to turn to the book of Matthew. So we're going to read a bit of a different version. Well, not different version, different account than what we've been reading in John. We're going to read from Matthew 27. And I spoke at the end of the message this morning about a couple of the different aspects of the gospel account, specifically when Jesus died, that we don't read in the book of John, but we read in the book of Matthew, and I think it might be in Mark as well, that they're quite aligned in what they share about the earth shaking, the earthquake that happened when Jesus died. We hear about the rocks splitting apart. We hear about the people rising from the dead and then going back into the town. Like, it's incredible. I said to Aaron before, like, I can't believe John didn't put that in. You know, you'd think that if that happened and you saw it happen, you'd be, I need to write that down. People need to know this. But I think he was just trying to sharpen his focus even more on what Christ did, because all you get is from John is that it is finished, and then it kind of moves on. But that part that I mentioned was the veil being torn, and we're going to read about it in a second, but I want to talk about that veil so that when we get to it, it holds the significance that it should for us. The details of that curtain, we read, it's listed in in cubits in different areas of the Bible, but approximately in today's metric system, it is a tapestry or a woven tapestry type piece of material, 18 meters tall. And to give that context, we're talking like a six-story building tall. Like when we saw that, do you remember the image that I showed this morning? And you could see the Temple Mount, that whole part, and the temple on the top. Really, really tall building from top to bottom. And we've got an 18 meters, six-story building, 9 meters wide is this piece of material. Like 9 meters, I think this stage is like six. So you're going another 3 meters, another meter and a half either side of that. And then we're talking some estimates of it being about 10 centimeters thick. Chris, show us 10 centimeters with your fingers. Hold it up so everyone can see. About 10 centimeters. Like that is a thick, spin it around so they can see. That's a, you probably know what 10 centimeters is, don't you? That's a thick piece of material. How, that cross would be 10 centimeters thick, you reckon? That's 75 mil. 7.5 centimeters thick, that cross. Thanks, Chris, for being very specific. Such is the weight, the magnitude of this piece of material that we're going to see what happens here. And then I'll talk a little bit about, no, I'll talk about it now. The veil was in that temple and it separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. The Holy of Holies, which was God's dwelling place on earth, in that place, separated from it. That was the temple. And it was once a year that the priest would go in there and give the lamb or do the burnt offerings for the atonement of the sins of the nation of Israel. The reason that that veil was there was what? What was it doing? It was separating, right? It was separating the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies. Why was that separation necessary? What was the reason behind that? So one word, starts with S, ends with in. It was sin. Sin, we know, like sin was what separates us. When you remember that picture of the bridge that I had this morning. Sin is what created that chasm in the first place. We sung that song this morning, Living Hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain that I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and called your name into the light. Into the night? Into the light. Called your name somehow. There it is. Jesus, help. And he became that bridge. Sin is what separates us from God. And this veil was a representation of that separation between the presence of God and everything else that was out of there. And so we're going to read the crucifixion according to Matthew in Matthew 27. We're going to start in verse 35. So grab your Bible. I'm going to get mine out here. Matthew 27, verse 35. I'm reading from my NLT tonight. Matthew 27:35. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. They sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed. "But he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe him." He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. And let's just pause there. And I mentioned that this morning. Even those who were beside him on those two crosses began by ridiculing and mocking Jesus, and to see the turnaround that happened in one of those to put his faith and his trust in Jesus in such a short time shows the effect that Jesus had even in that state on him as he offered that forgiveness. Verse 45, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled up a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Verse 51. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went to the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." Christ's death, as we looked at this morning, was the end of the sacrificial system. We talked about the lambs that were given at Passover. Christ's death ended all that. Officially, other people still do it, but his blood, his sacrifice, was a sufficient atonement for our sins. And this moment, amongst many other things, signified that the Holy of Holies, as Christ died and the veil is torn in two, signified that the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, is now open for all people for all time, both Jew and Gentile. In another 30 years, we understand that the temple was actually destroyed by the Romans. The temple that we saw, the 1,000 years of building and destroying, in only another 30 years, it is destroyed again. But the presence of God is now no longer confined to the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus has done. The presence of God now dwells his people through the Holy Spirit coming. I want to read a couple of passages out of Hebrews now that speaks directly to this. And then I'm going to let Chris share something and give an opportunity for prayer, after which we're going to come and we're going to take communion. And Dan, maybe if you could just play. And Mads, I don't know, like, just let the Holy Spirit give you a song if there is one for us to do around the cross. I keep thinking of surrender, but I don't know if that's it or not. Like, I don't know. If he gave me a clarity around a song, I would tell you right now, but he hasn't. So you just go with it. Otherwise, we'll just go with what we've got. It's family night. Hebrews 9. Let's move to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to look at from verse 11. And you might want to just spend a little bit of time, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10, because it speaks to what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, we're going to read through to verse 15. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. That's really important, Chris. I think that leads to what you're talking about as well, because there can be sin can be a barrier not only for people because of the separation it has between us and God, but as Christians, as we still experience the effects of sin. And Graham always says it this way, you know, the power of sin is broken, but the habit patterns of sin still need to be broken. And this is part of sanctification that we go through, is that we're putting to death the lusts of the flesh continually through our lives. And sometimes, through one reason or another, and maybe you've had a period of your life where, man, I've had so much pressure in different areas that I've dropped the ball in a few areas, and now I'm paying for it with a habit pattern that is potentially sinful. And this is where this is directly how we'll purify our consciences from the sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. This is part of the reason why we want to continue to live in the freedom from sin, is not just so that we can say, yes, we're doing well when it comes to our sin, is so that we can worship the living God more freely. Incentive to us in this way, because it means that our worship is I struggle to say even more pure, because that's down to our hearts, right? But even more freely we can enter into worship. There's not that hurdle of our worthiness or the sin that I'm stuck in every time, because we're like, God, we're moving forward on that. My life ain't perfect, but when I enter into worship with you, I do so with such freedom because I've overcome those sinful things in my life in the first place. What a great incentive for us to continue to eliminate sin from our lives. Mitch did such a great job. Was it last Sunday night that Mitch spoke about the heart, fearing God and putting to death sinful desires in our lives, not settling for anything less than God's best in that area. Reading on in verse 14, "For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant." How beautiful is that? How wonderful the writer of Hebrews puts it. Flick over now to Hebrews 10, and we're going to read from verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. This is a continuation of where I read at the end of the service this morning. We're just going to read the three verses here. Hebrews 10, 19. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Let me just think about this next part. Maybe CB, share what you've got, because I think it links with that perfectly, and then I'll see if God wants to say this.
No worries. So I just had a real sense this morning, after what was during the service, but particularly after Andy shared that, For many, and it might be for some here, you struggle with being worthy of what Christ has done, and whether sin plays a role or it's something in your head, there's this whole aspect of you just think you're not quite, for some reason, there's some sort of spiritual blockage that you think, I'm just not quite good enough. And I just, the beautiful scriptures of Hebrews speak into that, and often Pastor Oxley used to talk about the legal and the experiential, and legally we are all free, but experientially sometimes there's this struggle in our hearts and our minds to be able to step into that place of freedom, and we just think, I'm just not worthy enough, And so in John 1:12, I'll just read this scripture in John 1:12, which links in with what Andy has been speaking about. And so I'll just quickly read that. John 1:12, it says, "But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in and rely on his name, who were born not of blood, natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, physical impulse, nor of the will of man, that a natural father, but of God, that is a divine and supernatural birth. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed and sanctified." And I just, you know, love the fact that we're in John and how beautiful that scripture is. But it's, I don't know whether this is for someone here or a couple of people here, but we are worthy first because of what Christ has done, not because of what we can do. Okay, and we must remember that. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not our righteousness." And sometimes in life we get caught up in going, if only I'm worthy, I need to do this and I need to do that. And sin is a problem for us, that is for sure. But it's seeking him first, because he is worthy, that makes us worthy. Not, and so we need to do that first rather than go, right, I make ourselves worthy. He is worthy first, and therefore we are worthy. And so I'm not sure how you want to do it, Andy, and I'll leave it to you. But if that speaks to you tonight, I just believe that there's going to be a spiritual transaction that takes place. And, you know, I don't know whether I'd love to pray and get a couple of people to come and pray or how you want to do it. But that's the word that God gave me.
Thanks, CB. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take communion together, and this is going to be deliberately at the cross, so you have to come and get it. And I want you to see the walk that you do. It is, in many ways, the walk back to the seat is a freedom walk, because we walk now in freedom because of what Christ has done. We come to the cross. We come to accept Jesus broken, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. And then we walk back and we walk in freedom. And I think that freedom in the walking in sin is part of what God wants to say to those who hear it today. And if you've struggled with that, if you're under condemnation or anything resonates with what Chris has said, Chris has offered to pray for you, and so come and see him if that's you, unless you feel like it's going to be more than what you can handle, and we just pray together in this group as communion sort of happening. We'll see how we go. But CB will just be just over here if you want to see him for prayer and come with the other team. But it might be that freedom comes simply from this walk, and God does some deliverance work in you as you come and take communion and walk back to your seat and sit there and reflect on what he's done. And so maybe, Dan, if you can come and just play for us, please, that'd be great. And Mads, just maybe sense whether there's a song that God wants us to sing as a moment of worship. The whole thing is a time of worship, really. And so let me just pray for us, and let's just reflect. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly, whether it's to do with something that's been shared today already, or whether it's something in your life specifically. Maybe this is a turning point moment for you. Maybe there's an area of sin in your own life that you need to see victory in, that this is a turning point moment for that, as the power is broken, but also God strengthens you by the power of his Spirit, continue to begin walking in a new habit pattern. We got to want it. As with Jesus going through what he went through on the cross, he didn't take an easy way out. There's no easy ways out of this. Jesus, we are so thankful that we sit here as children of the King in freedom because of what you went through. And as you said, it is finished. they are words that we want to have right at the top of the list when it comes to the value. The words that are most valuable to us is obviously God saying, I love you. And Jesus, your word saying, it is finished. And so Jesus, as we come and as we remember what you have done, as we take communion tonight, as we drink of the juice representing your blood that was shed for us, the we know again that we are cleansed, that we are made whole, that you remember our sins no more, that we are made righteous in your sight by Christ's righteousness. For the obedience in allowing your body to be beaten and bruised, the punishment that was due us, the wrath of God that was poured out for our sin upon you, Jesus. We come with thanksgiving again. We love you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.